Today, we're going to start going through Esther. I'm going to split this into two parts. The first part will be today, and the second part will continue, and we'll finish up on the 8th of October. This account of the events of Esther's life within the court of the king Ahasuerus, and I'm always having a hard time with that because the spelling is not indicative of the pronunciation. But this includes the power of a king, the fairness of a woman, the ambition of a man, the disdain of a certain people, and ultimately the preservation of such people that stand persecuted. So we'll start off in Esther 1, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in days of Ahasuerus, this is who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces, being before him. We're in verse 4 now. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 144 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple to silver rings, and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also, Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Verse 10, on the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehaman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Karsus, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Neris, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the king hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. Now, Vashti regarding Vashti, this reasoning was inconsequent and false. Vashti had not generally disobeyed the king, therefore she could be no precedent for the general conduct of the Persian women. She disobeyed only one particular, and this, to serve a purpose. Memucan draws into a general consequence, and the rest came into the conclusion, being either too intoxicated to be able to discern right from wrong, or too intent on reducing women to a state of vassalage, to neglect the present favorable opportunity. Now we'll continue on in verse 17. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Oh boy. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, or Medes, however way you want to pronounce that, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. Now in verse 22 here. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Yeah, that would really go over today. That is quite an epic undertaking there. So now we're in chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all their fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king to be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Verse 6. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she had obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. In other words, she didn't speak of her origins and who her people were. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women. For so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then, thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. These are some very, very definite preparations. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shaashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now, 15. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight. More than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. Verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of his king's chamberlains, Bigtha and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king, Achashverosh. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of Chronicles before the king. And I'm going to look at Proverbs 21:1 to give a little bit of context to the king and what is going on in this story. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. After these things did King Achashverosh promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman, to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. The plot thickens. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Achashverosh. And there goes Tony again, but he'll be back, folks. Even the people of Mordecai. Let's see that again. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Achashverosh, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is, the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is, the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, an Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. I'm sure all of you can see a pattern here. This is just kind of the epic narrative that happens throughout time. And to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. Again, here is a moment where we see the great deceiver looking to vanquish the Jews, but not being able to know the mind of God, it is oft times an endeavor of folly. Esther chapter 4. There's 17 verses in chapter 4. We'll go through them here. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandments and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai, to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Here is an unveiling. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king, unto the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 40 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." This is definitely an interesting statement and begs further thought. Let's go to Appendix 60. In Appendix 60 it says, "It has been observed by many that no divine name or title is found in the book of Esther." Now that was what started me on going through Esther, just to see why wasn't it there. This is the more remarkable, since in this short book of only 167 verses, the Median king is mentioned 192 times. His kingdom is referred to 26 times, and his name, Achashverosh, is given 29 times. Jehovah had declared in Deuteronomy 31, verses 16 through 18, that if his people forsook him, he would hide his face from them. Though the book reveals him as overruling all, his name is hidden. It is there for his people to see, not for his enemies to see or hear. Satan was at work, using Haman to blot out the nation, as once before he had used Pharaoh for the same purpose. See Appendix 23 and 25 for that. Jehovah's counsel must stand. His promise of Messiah, the coming seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, must not. For he must overrule all for the preservation of his people and of the line by which that seed was to come into the world. Even in this day and age that we are in, I believe there is guidance occurring by God, not only to those of us of belief, but to those who are unaware. We are all imbued with some measure of wisdom, It is up to each and every one of us to wield that gift in a proper manner, in a way that is not destructive or harmful to those around us, nor to ourselves. And an example of this wisdom is displayed here this weekend in that each of us that is present, whether it be in person or online, has made the decision to hear a message to learn more regarding the content of Scripture and to absorb these words that bring substance to our lives. I'll go back to verse 14, and again Mordecai speaks, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth, and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, whither thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And folks, I'm going to leave it at that, mainly because I wanted to cut this in half, and you can think about that as far as what happens around you, even though the things that are unseen and you may not think about the Lord constantly, but He is there thinking about you constantly. I say, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in order to come together and wrap ourselves in the warm blanket of Your Word. I pray that this moment pleases You, Lord, and that Your light shines favorably on us all. We thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.